Well, welcome to the second live stream, live show, hosted by me, Nigel Main. Company is Sales Exchange, as you've probably guessed. Excuse me a second. Why do you always get frogs in your throat as soon as you start, you prepare for it and you get ready to go? Okay, today I want to talk about SMEs. I'm just going to go on to here first. I've got to use the technology, okay? So lower third comes up. That's working. Good with that. I hope you've had a good week. And I think after today, after this show, you will, I believe, start to question what you're doing regarding new business development. A couple of parameters I want to set is that these live shows are specifically for B2B, for all people within B2B organisations that are responsible for new business generation. And I'm not talking about marketing. So CEO, CRO, VPs of sales and so on. But not talking about marketing. And sadly or unfortunately, whichever way you want to look at this, marketing, digital marketing within B2B has been the single most destructive force within organisations. And there's a specific reason for it. And we're going to come on to that in a second. The umbrella for today, if we just go on to here, the umbrella for today is about SMEs and giants. And it is a bit of a fallacy. So whether you are one, an SME or a giant, or you're selling to SME or giants, it makes no difference because it's B2B. So you don't need to be worrying about segmentation and personas and everything else, as marketing have been banging on about for goodness knows how long, because the mentality of purchasing within B2Bs is such that, is it going to make us any money or not? It's absolutely critical. And with the kind of the staggering growth of marketing automation software and technologies and so on, people have missed the point. And if you look at this, if you've got telesales people, if you endorse and believe that telesales and telemarketing for B2B is valid, then we're talking about something that's 70 years old. It's a 70-year-old strategy going back to the 50s. You have to think about that. Now, you think about, well, would you receive a phone call this afternoon? Someone calls you on your mobile or whatever. You don't recognise the number. It's come up no caller ID. Are you going to answer it? Probably not. Even if they get through for some bizarre reason and you realise it's a cold call, you hang up. Or you tell them to get lost or whatever. It doesn't matter how adept they are at their telephone manner. I'm not interested. I'm busy. And that's why cold calling, telesales, BDRs, it's a 300-to-1 shot. You know, 300 calls to find someone that might be interested. That's not good enough. That's not good enough for anybody. You can't build a business on that. And indeed you can't, because you couldn't employ enough people to get you the scale that you would actually want. So why has this been going on, and what's the cause of this? Well, it's to do with marketing. It's to do with the people driving marketing, digital marketing. And the fundamental problem is that the technology, strategy, and tactics being employed by digital marketing in B2B today are based upon and created by those that want to sell to consumers, not businesses, consumers. You're not selling trainers. You're not selling camping gear, or cars, or boats, or life insurance. You're selling technology, SaaS or services, to other businesses, and they are going to buy that technology, SaaS or services, based upon your proof that you can deliver an ROI. So coming back to SME and giants, how is that different? That's no different whether you're a small company or a large company. You're not going to buy the kit, technology or services if it can't be proven that it's going to work. So selling to them is it's going to be no different either. So what's been going on? Well, I have to look over here. Anyway, this is my analogy of it. This is my illustration of it. This is Grima Wormtongue talking to King Theron of Rohan. But you know the story. He's whispering evil into his ear, and old Bernard Lee is getting sicker and sicker and sicker. Same with businesses. You think, oh, come on. No, I'm serious. Average turnover per person per annum. Easy to work out. Total turnover divided by your staff. The average is about 100, 120 grand per person per annum. Okay, might not be as relevant, but I was doing 200 grand per person per annum and I wasn't happy with it. And that was like 15 years ago. And that's why I got involved in the marketing side to say, right, you know, my largest sale to one company was 4.5 million. And when I got involved in marketing, but I couldn't make that consistent. I could never be consistent. And I am good at selling. I know my products. But I couldn't do it consistently. I couldn't see people consistently enough. I couldn't engage consistently enough. So I thought, silly me, I haven't got a marketing degree. I need to learn about marketing. So I got involved in marketing, pulled it apart. First deal I got online after 10 weeks. First campaign, 3.5 million. I must be a superstar then, yeah? Now do it again. Difficult. Not impossible, but difficult, because there's not enough consistency out there. So having spent years researching and analysing and pulling this apart, I got to realise, what a load of nonsense. This is insanity. Because what's happened is that big tech martech are influencing everybody in terms of marketing. It's not the big tech martech people that are selling these products to you. It's their advocates who work for you. They're your employees. They're the people that are getting you to buy it. And if you don't buy it, the view is, well, if you don't want to succeed, if you don't want to compete with all these other people that are using all this technology, it's up to you, isn't it? And so you're convinced that you should be doing it, but it doesn't work. And they've known it's not worked for years. As far back as 2014, research was being done. This is like a few years after marketing automation came out. So whether you've got Pardot, Eloqua, Marketo, HubSpot, SharpSpring, it's irrelevant. Absolutely irrelevant. Because business owners don't want to fill out forms. So 10 years ago, 97% of business owners didn't want to fill out forms. Demand-based now say 100% don't want to fill out forms. Which makes your demand gen lead gen ABM strategies completely worthless. But you know what the figures are. You know what the statistics are. And so do your salespeople. Your salespeople are sitting there going, like that meme with John Travolta, is like, so where are the leads? They're getting beaten up all the time because there's no business coming in. Being retrained with sales enablement this and sales enablement that. I saw an illustration yesterday by this another SaaS company, sales enablement SaaS company, looking at the different elements of that sale that you could change the way that the case studies, and you can change the numbers of opportunities and change all these little things by small percentages, which will lead to a greater percentage increase in your turnover. Opportunities. Your salespeople will never go in and split test their ways of selling, because they'll go, well, I got the deal last time doing it this way, I'm going to do it again. And salespeople have never, ever, ever got more than enough leads to poke a stick at that they would try different ways of trying to close and open and all this kind of stuff. It just doesn't happen. So when you look at the business, the levels of business, are low. You're still 100, 120 grand per person per annum. So you're not, no one's smashing it as people keep saying they are. So what you're supposed to do? Salespeople are saying, where are the leads? Marketing going, what are you talking about? We've given you all these leads. Look, all these leads. You just can't sell. You just can't close. It's your problem. It's not our problem. I have a solution. I do have a solution. Fire them. Marketing. All of them. Get rid of them. I'm serious. I'm deadly, deadly, deadly serious. They are a complete waste of time, effort, and money because they are promoting and pushing consumer-driven strategies and tactics that have proven over 20 years to not work. But the reason nobody's looked at doing anything different is because you as directors, CROs, VPs of sales are going, I'm involved doing this. I'm running the company. I'm running sales and marketing. I'm selling. I haven't got time to go and investigate and research what marketing are doing. We are assuming they're doing the right thing. So you go back to this picture here. I think everybody's been influenced by Big Tech MarTech to the point that they are protecting Big Tech MarTech. So you've got this situation where we, because I did it, I've spent more time studying and working with demand gen, lead gen, ABM and marketing technologies than most people have, because I'm looking to find fault with it. So I started off setting up and doing everything you were told to go and do, and then started to realize. So I'm massively invested in it to the point I'm going, oh, thank goodness for that. I don't have to do it anymore. What a waste of time. Because it's designed for consumers. And so you've now got this situation where businesses will fight to protect their tech stack, but will fire the CMO because you clearly can't make it work. That's been happening for the past 7 or 8 years. The average tenure of CMOs is about 18 months. 3 months to come in, set the world alight, put their plan in place. 12 months to try and execute it. 3 months to find a job. See you later. They see the writing on the wall. And you think, wow. It's a fact. It's on. Just Google it, research it. That's the whole point of this, is research it. Everything that I'm going to talk about and do talk about, I'm encouraging you to go and research. Because nobody has. Your marketing team don't. They could not have done any research about changing the way that you can increase your income because you haven't changed. I mean, it's not so much blowing, like, kind of, I say blowing your own trumpet, but yeah, I've got a complete solution. End to end, total. And it doesn't involve them. It's low cost. I must be hungry. The whole thing about it is low cost, and I'll come on to it in a minute. But the critical thing about this is that you must understand, you must realize what has been going on. It's the most important thing you can ever do in business right now, is just to understand why you're doing what you're doing. This is why. Thinking fast, thinking slow. When you think fast, it's reactionary, it's instinctive. When you think slow, it's considered and cautious. We all believed, past tense, we all believed we knew how to do marketing. We'd heard it so many times through so many employees that we got to a point where we believed that we knew what marketing was. Therefore, we were becoming quite adept at hiring and firing these people. If you look at your job descriptions, they're the same. Same for everyone. All the marketing. And when they come in and tell you what they've done in the past, yeah, do I like him? Because you cannot prove or get confirmation of anything that they've said on their CV. It's legal. That's a fact. So when it comes to doing this, people are protecting these individuals. You're not getting any further forward. So your reactionary decisions are based upon fast thinking. And I'm asking you, inviting you, suggesting that you take some slow thinking and take your time about this and research it, because the results will be very different. So the point of this, as I've said, you've got B2C tactics being used in B2B. It doesn't work. But it's not just that. It's greater than just a bit of software and a bit of tech. You've got a blog, possibly. So you have been told, it's been inferred or suggested that you should have a blog, you should write stuff on a regular basis about your products and content, yeah? So you then post your blogs up, and whoever's written them gets a pat on the back, and you're of the belief that your blogs and information content is being read by different people, they can search and find you. That would be nice. But there are some stages and some factors. One of the factors is if Google doesn't index you, you don't get seen. Fact. Finished. Why should they index you? And who are Google? Google is a commercial organization. Okay? They're a profit-making organization. I mentioned about doing 100 grand per person per annum with typical B2Bs, yeah? Google do 2 million per person per annum. You have to think about that. Why? So, you've got your content. You've got someone knocking out these blogs once a week. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paragraph long blogs with a bog standard picture. You want to get it indexed so people can search and find it. But invariably they don't, because the content's not deep enough. It's not structured well enough. Google came out with this thing called EEAT last year, which is expertise, experience, authority and trust. There's also the basis that your content needs to be 2,000 to 6,000 words long, with contents, bullet points, number lists, embedded video, graphics, infographics, and so on, to make it a really deep, thought leadership-based piece of content, okay? And they still may or may not index it. Think, well, we've even shown it to some of our customers, and they've said it's great, but Google haven't indexed it. And the reason they don't index it is because your content wasn't good enough for their customers, not yours. Their customers. You've got to grasp this. Everybody that goes and browses on Google is a Google customer at that point. They ain't yours. They ain't mine. Google's job algorithm is to deliver relevant, accurate, great content to their customers. And you thought Google was free. You're the product, as we all know. But if your product isn't good enough for Google, you won't get found. Ever. So what should happen is you have a sitemap on your website. Your sitemap is submitted to Google. Google say, thanks for that. This is all the content that's on your site that you want people to see and be referenced. We'll crawl that site based upon that list of that sitemap. Come back to you. You have a crawl budget. They might crawl 10 pages at a time. If you've got a 500-page website, it'll take a while. Yeah? But then, if they don't like it, they'll suspend it, meaning we're not going to crawl anymore until you fix this problem. So you can fix the problem. It could get indexed. And X weeks later gets unindexed. Why would they do that? Because a better content, piece of content exists from someone else that elevates Google to keep delivering high quality content to their customers, not your customer. Which makes search and your SEO and SEM and all the work that you've put into it and all the money you're spending on SaaS for SEMrush or Moz or Neil Patel or Ahrefs or whoever you're going to use to analyze your keywords and waste of time, effort, and money. You can do all that work and not even get indexed. And people don't understand the mechanism. It's actually a little bit worse than that. It is not your or mine. It's not our God-given right for Google to put our content on their platform. You can pay for it, which means Google pay-per-click. Then they'll put it on there. But only based upon where it's been positioned in terms of your keywords and how much you're bidding. So therefore, the rest of it is negligible. You can't rely on it. You can't trust it. And here's the kicker. Here we go. FCC prosecuting Google for monopolizing digital advertising technologies. Started this year. Bit here says you've got search and pay-per-click talking to each other. People in the past said, oh no, they're completely separate. Completely separate. Nothing to do with each other. Complete rubbish. Internal memo that's available online, internal memo, and it talks about we need this more income this quarter. So what we need you to do is to adapt this. Put these higher paying pay-per-click people on here so we make more money and we can influence the types of searches so we can generate more income. Why not? If it's a commercial organization, they can do what they like. You think it's free? It's not, because we're the product. But whether our product's good enough for Google or not, who knows? And to get to a point, who cares? You shouldn't care. Should be a factor. I mean, there's another point. Not this page, it's another page. But it's about, they were saying about getting young people to understand that Google is the place to go, to make it like a drug. So get them young and they'll stay there and they'll keep coming back. They won't go to other search engines. They'll accept what's coming in from Google and accept Google's position. That should be scary to some people. But when it comes to B2B, it's like you wanted to know why you didn't get any, why you're not getting any business, why your digital efforts are being quashed. There you go. It's a bit of an explanation. And so we get onto this thing, which is, you know, you're looking at the problems that are endemic within companies. You want more business. Why? Who's it affecting and who are the players? Well, at the bottom, you've got this center of receptivity. And sales and marketing, sales are going, give us a lead. And marketing is saying, give us more SaaS. We'll take care of the problem. And then you've got a problem that could be dealt with strategy, technology, or SaaS. And the people that have got the big problem with it is the CRO. Because where's the revenue? Now, chief revenue officer, and he ain't getting the revenue. She's not getting the revenue. And they are all answerable, as you can see. I won't read it all out to you, but you can see what it says. So, you're looking at a strategic or tactical reason to do something or change. So then you've got to look at this infrastructure that says, so you've got a VP of sales, you've got a CMO. So you've got these two people. Then you've got the CRO, who used to be the sales and marketing director. Now, one of the problems is that the sales and marketing director, or the CRO, majors in one side or the other, invariably is to do with sales. Invariably, it's rarely in that kind of sales-driven environment, it's rare that you're going to take someone on that's got a marketing, that they lean towards marketing in their past, in their previous career, rather than selling. Because everyone's thinking, well, it's about selling, isn't it? It's about selling. But it doesn't really matter which way they want to lean to. Because that person must be a consummate marketer and salesperson. They must know the tech stack inside out, know what it can and can't do, and sell it. Invariably, they don't. But you could say, so what? They still ain't getting it, that getting over 120 grand per person per annum, no matter where they've worked. Then this is the big problem. So you go, starting from the, if your CMOs are being churned every 18 months, CROs are being churned every 2.5 years. Why? That's according to LinkedIn. This week, last week, whenever. 2.5 years. Why? They should have golden handcuffs. You want to keep them. But clearly they're not cutting the mustard, as they say, because they're not making any changes within marketing and getting and generating more leads. So you've just got this constant problem. So what do we do about it? And this is the critical thing. So if you understand why B2B new business development is in such a mess, you have to understand where it's come from. And then what I'm going to talk about now is what you can do to put it right. It's not complicated. I mean, it really is not complicated. As business owners, we buy in a certain way. That's all there is to it. We're not stupid, contrary to what marketing thinks we are. And the reason I say marketing think we're stupid is because they think we can be bamboozled by messaging, bamboozled by BDRs. I mean, bearing in mind, BDRs in certain businesses are now being managed by marketing. So marketing are responsible for first contact, end of. And they're all going, oh, yeah, we're meeting our KPIs. We're doing what needs to be done. It's just those people over in sales, they just can't sell. And I think you kind of got to get to that point where you're going to scratch your head. You're going to scratch your head. I don't want to flip between these two, just these two. We've got the other camera angle, which is this is the serious camera angle. And I really do mean what I'm saying. We've then got, here's all the kit. Because this is how, I say it's simple. Don't be put off by this. Set it up once, press two buttons, you go live to as many people as you know online. Two buttons, that's it. So the point of this, the point of driving this and saying, look, we've got this, this is the information, this is what we've got set up. You need to first just understand who your total addressable market is. Because everybody in sales is going to agree with me on this. Sales is a numbers game. Your salespeople are probably pretty good salespeople. Even you, you're a pretty good salesperson. You know you are. And you watch stuff like this to get an angle. Selling is not difficult. It's not complicated. We both know that. Excuse me. So, start with your TAM, SAM, SOM, your total addressable market, serviceable addressable market, and serviceable obtainable market. So, say for example, you want to sell to companies that have 50 employees or more in the UK. In the UK, make it easy. There are 44,000 companies that fit that number profile. 44,000 companies that have got 50 employees or more. So say, for example, out of those 44,000, you could sell to 10,000 of them. Make it easy. The numbers are easy. So you go, great, okay. So you now got a 10,000 name database, which you should already have. Your marketing people should have already bought that however long ago, and that's what you're working on. But if not, it costs you $3,500. 350 quid per thousand. Might get a better deal, maybe not. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. So you've got your database. Email them. Tell them you exist. That's it. Hi. We're here. This is what we do. So once you're emailing them, you also put your, you upload that same database to LinkedIn and match information. So then you put your banner adverts that go out, read by those same people in their news feeds. Hi, we exist. And then like I've said here, and I said earlier, we want to remain anonymous. I don't want people ringing me up. It's the last thing I want. If I want something that desperately, I'll ring you myself. I mean, I've said this before. I mean, your car mechanic is not going to ring you up and say, bring your car down. Let me check it over to see if there's anything wrong with it. and then I'll do some work on it and charge you. Is that all right? You go, no. So if you're looking at this, you allow business people to remain anonymous. And of course you're thinking, how on earth am I going to sell to people if they're anonymous? If I'm not knowing who they are, because we've always been ringing them up. That's right, 300 to 1, you can't get in touch with them. They don't want you to speak to them. Let them remain anonymous. We're not finished yet. Okay? Then you produce, if you want to self-serve and self-educate, self-educate, self-serve, whichever, produce information and content that means that they can learn from you. Teach them. Teach them what you know. If you know anything about networking, serve. Serve other people. Serve them. Help them. Help people get to where they want to go. Provide the information. Tell them that you've got this information. Tell them that you can help educate them, their team, their staff, to generate or do more of what they want to do because of your technology, SaaS or services, because they can achieve an ROI on it, can't they? As long as they can, they'll buy it in their time, not yours. And so the bottom line is that I have to look at what it says in there. So remaining accessible means give them everything. Don't put forms on your website. Get rid of them. In fact, get rid of your marketing automation software. You don't need it. You need an ESP, an email servicing platform. You don't need marketing automation. Waste time, effort, and money. So, where do we go from here? So, just as an illustration, that what we do to stay visible, we've got company pages and personal pages and podcasts and videos and downloads and documents and infographics and a whole raft of things, making ourselves visible and accessible. And you think, okay, I understand that. But there's another part which you've probably seen, which is some of the ads that go out on LinkedIn. We put out 180 adverts a month. Because I can't guarantee that when you go online, you're going to see it. If I post one, it's impossible. I mean, the odds on that is just forget it. So you have to post regularly and frequently, but you need to have variety. Otherwise, LinkedIn will say, what are you doing? You're posting up the same thing every 5 seconds. I can't have that. So you produce lots of adverts in advance. But the adverts aren't selling the product. The adverts are selling the education, it's selling the content, which gives people an opportunity to get to know, like, and trust you, which is what selling's all about. So the point of this is that there has to be a shift in what you're doing. And so if you look at this, so I'm talking to you on a camera. Let's go on to this one here. So I'm talking to you, this camera one, and camera two, and camera three. And you go, well, that's a lot of gear for one company. No, it's not. I can reach more people than you can on a daily basis. It doesn't matter who you are. And you've got to think about that. I can manage what I'm doing. I can scale what I'm doing to suit me. Most businesses can't do that. I can invite people to come and watch and listen to me. If you didn't watch me, if you're not watching this live, like it is right now on Thursday, you watch it on catch up. If not on LinkedIn, on YouTube. Then I take the audio and put that on as a podcast. So we've got this constant exposure. That's what you need to do. It is simple. iPhones now, like the 15, even the 14, and plug them in. You plug them into an HDMI cable, you record live straight away. There's a bit more finessing around it because you've got lights and mics and I'll show you. We've got this thing, you've got a monitor up here, and because I'm doing this solo, but you've got staff, you've got people that can do this. But bearing in mind, if I can do it, you can do it. I'm doing this. This is just me. I've got my phone ringing. I'm hoping it doesn't affect my this camera because I have a remote on it. And so the thing about this is that if I can do this as a single individual solo, so can you. But you've got to have someone that's up for it. But if not, then a couple of people, two or three people doing this, you know, pressing the buttons, organising the audio, you know, changing the slides, doing whatever. Costs next to nothing. Think about the cost, your current cost, your new business generation cost. That's every single person in marketing, BDRs, and all of your SaaS. And the reason I make a big all of your SaaS. Recently, businesses are using between 30 and 70 SaaS platforms in their company. Of the total number of SaaS platforms in the world, which there are 30,000 of them, nearly half of them are marketing. And I've just said, get rid of pretty much all of them. You don't need. So, where was I? So, you get rid of all that, but you need to do an ROI calculation. You need to add that total number together. And then see how much business you're getting from that. That's the cost of generating new business. I'm not talking about field. I'm not talking about doing exhibitions or presentations or lunches and learn and that kind of thing where you get a handful of people or you subscribing or paying X thousands to be able to speak to a group of business people. Put that to one side. I wouldn't recommend that anyway because there's another way of doing it. But come on to that another show. So the point is, the cost for you to generate new business is staggering. So then, on the flip side of that, go, how much time do your salespeople spend actually talking to and engaged with new prospects based upon that massive amount of money and the activity they're generating? And bearing in mind, the only people that are bitching about attribution and marketing, they're the ones that want attribution. Sales are going, it was my mate. You're not getting any attribution. Or I've known this company for 10 years. You're not getting any attribution. A marketing, oh, well, they must have seen something that we put out. Whatever. So from a cost justification perspective, impossible to justify marketing based upon what I'm saying. Your reach doing this, breathtaking. If you were to reach out to 10,000 companies, between 100 or between 1 and 15% are looking to start their buying journey. Think about that. 100 to 1,500 people looking to start their buying journey every week. Every week. Do this every week. So by emailing them and saying, come and have a look. This is what we do. And you start streaming. Then it changes everything because you are then in a position to communicate with a given percentage of the people that are looking to buy every week, inviting them to come and watch you completely anonymously. They can look at the details in the description. They can go to your website, access anything that they want. You can inform them of your program over the next 6 weeks, like I did in the information I put out. In our list, it said this week we're doing SMEs and giants. I can't remember what we're doing next week. But, you know, that's what we've got set up. So if you're interested, I'm not interested in that, but I'm interested in that. They'll come and join you when they're ready. And if they miss it, they watch it on catch up. And so the only problem that we've got here is this crossover. I say get rid of everything to do with marketing and start this. It's not going to happen, is it? But you are going to let one decrease and one increase over a period of time, which is probably more sensible. It also, I have to put this in, it also could give the opportunity for those people in marketing that are genuinely interested in making it work within your company to go and get themselves some more training in their own time to begin with. Because if they started it now, they can learn how a camera works. It's not complicated. Plug it in. They can learn how this kit works. They can get everything prepped up and ready because you want this for the long term. And the thing is, if you're able to reach that many more people, you know how much you sell your product for. You know what your sales hit rate is. What if you double, treble, quadruple it? Easy. It's easy to do that. Easy. But with minimal people. So starting off doing the same levels of business, but more, right from the outset, with infinitely less people. And I have to say, sorry guys in sales, but if you're not cutting the mustard, you may go too. But the point of this is that people in selling, in the sales environment, they are the ones that are gregarious and outgoing and chatty and everything else. So you take your people from sales, sit them in front of a microphone. Get two of them, three of them, four of them. Banter, chat, talking about... The interview and dual person streams or videos are the most popular in B2B. They attract millions. It's not complicated. And like I said, you walk in, press the button, and you go live. I mean, I've done some other stuff. I mean, I'll show you this very briefly. Our website, one page, it's called Go Live. It's got everything you need. Not a form to be filled in sight. Step by step, stage by stage. Here's this, read that. Go on to the next thing, read this, read that. Everything that you need to know is there. Because you would invest in all this technology, and bearing in mind, your iPhone costs $1,000, and so do these cameras, plus the cost of a lens. I mean, you could spend $100,000, but it's not, the whole setup is not expensive. It's minimum, I mean, 10, 20, 50, 100, spend whatever you want. But you could do it with your iPhone. And that's the critical thing about it. You could do it with your iPhone. So there's everything that you need to know, everything for you to self-educate. Then you can look at green screen, because this kit does green screen stuff. I mean, but really good. And so it's on the website, it's under live stream. So I did this. The ticker tape, Nigel Main today, goes behind me. We've got lower thirds and everything else. And that's Tucker Carlson. So you can see where I got the idea for it, the inspiration for it. But that's the point. And so looking at a program, you don't have to read all of this, but these are just 25 that I came up with. There's loads of things you can do. There's so many things, but you can only do about two or three segments in a show. You don't want it to be too long. So I'm hoping that I am impressing on you of the things that you could do. And whilst you are doing these shows, I haven't put any in with this. When you are doing these shows, you can put up adverts, your own adverts. Why not? New products coming out, new deals. We'll be right back after these messages. Who wouldn't want to do that? And if you've got a small team, say you've got two people doing this, once it's set, it's kind of set and forget. A bit like your content. You don't need to keep producing content again and again and again and again, the written stuff, because it either works or it doesn't work. If you're not getting the traction that you want with it, edit it. But the bottom line is, you don't need to keep banging out blogs again and again and again. So you have to get this on the inside. You have, if you're happy with the levels of turnover that you've got, if you're happy with what you've been doing, keep doing it. Just don't complain to anybody ever again, because you're happy with it. That's great. If you're not happy with it, if you want to increase your turnover and increase not just turnover, but your profitability, anybody could try and increase turnover, but it's done in conjunction with the numbers of people that you employ. There was a company a while ago. I do advertising, admittedly, 1,000 people in the company. They got they were rah, rah, rah on LinkedIn. We got 150 million plus. It was actually more than that, but I don't want to give away the company. Rah, rah, rah. 1,000 people. They're doing 100 grand per person per annum. And they were advertising for a CRO, someone else that was going to make it happen. So they got the money from some big names, big institutions, and now they're looking to find someone that's going to go and help them crush it. Come on. So it's intrinsically linked. Numbers of people, amount of turnover. Been like that for ages. You want to change it? You have to change something more than just beating salespeople with a stick. But the most dramatic thing that I can say is get rid of your marketing team. You don't need them. They are actually slowly but surely destroying your business. Whether they know it or not, I don't care. I know it. And I see it happening again and again and again. And even directors will fight to keep this MarTech technology because it's like, you're telling me I made a bad mistake. Yeah, so what? That's how we progress, isn't it? You know, we're telling all our staff that, oh, you can make fail fast. Come on, let's do it. And this is for you to go and do. This is not complicated. I've written is everything that you need. Like I said, everything that you need is on this page here. You don't need anything else. Do it yourself. And that's the kicker. I'm saying do it yourself. Let me know how you get on. And then here's the pitch. And you go, oh, we want to do it quicker. Ah, right. Well, give me a call. I'll help you get this through very quickly. That's all I've got to offer, speed. But if you want your business to thrive and grow, people talk about these. People talk about economic climate, the things that are happening around the world. What on earth are we supposed to do? Cost of living going up. What are we supposed to do? Well, how about changing the way that you do things? Because what's been happening and the way that you've been doing it in the past doesn't work. But of course, you've got big tech MarTech going. Great, love this. And when it doesn't work, they fire the person that recommended the strategy and get someone else in there to do exactly the same thing. That's not good. So I didn't kind of talk about it a lot, but when you're looking at SMEs and giants, whether you are one or whether you sell to one, it doesn't make any difference at all. We're all the same in B2B. We have the same aspirations and problems and so on. That's just an element of scale anyway, isn't it? But the psychology of and the way that we buy is no different. Nobody wants to make a bad decision. But when you've got bad marketing whispering in your ear, telling you to stay the course, and you've got managing directors even agreeing with it, telling their salespeople, stay the course, follow the marketing, do that. Don't go off-piste. It doesn't work. You want them going off-piste. And there's some other important factors about this. You know, you get people come and go, have a black book, build relationships with your customers and take them with them. Can't have that. But if you're delivering this content, if you're out there, and bearing in mind, I'm a tiny, tiny fish in a very, very big ocean. Can't get any smaller than me. So only a handful of people know what I'm talking about. Very small number. Which means when it comes to your competition, get in there first. Imagine you know who your competition is. You go and do this. You go and reach out to every single potential prospect in this country and say, come and watch us. Here we are. And they go, oh, okay. Including all their prospects, they all go, oh, we go and watch you, shall we? See what they've got set up. And they look at it and go, wow. What a great show. How informative. We didn't know they did all that. We didn't know they had all those resources. Well, I'll start following them. Which is the beginning of them buying from you. So that wraps up for today. I hope you got a lot out of it. If you've got any questions, message me. The point is that what alternative do you have? When demand gen didn't work, they said ABM. When ABM didn't work, they said gifting. Give me a break. These are all components of naive, desperate salespeople within marketing, not our salespeople, but the people within marketing trying to play the salesman game. Bad salesmen try and bribe people in the end. And that's all it is. So to do so, you want to do something different. Do something that's sustainable. Do something that reaches absolutely everybody, your total addressable market. You have never been able to do that before and be able to get engaged with them and allow them to engage with you. You know, if you've got more people, you have someone on the screen, or message us now and we'll answer your question. You can have someone else sitting there going, oh, no, message is coming from this guy. I'll answer him now. That's what you want. That's what you want. Something for you to think about. There's loads to read. We've got a very comprehensive website. And, excuse me. And it's there for you to make a decision about what you want to do for your future. Do you want to fly? Or just stay where you are? Now you've got a choice. There's absolutely a choice. My way's the more profitable way, fortunately. I've got no SaaS. I don't sell cameras. I don't sell anything like that. Just speed. That's all. And if you've got people within your company that they might want to watch this, they might want to ask questions, you might want to do a Zoom call and we can do this direct with your company and you can quick fire any question at me you like, including anybody in marketing if they're up for it. But they won't win. Because this is really serious. This is important. They've had 20 years. They failed, as far as I'm concerned. This is the way that it needs to be done. Yes, we're still using social. Yes, we're still using these components, but we're using them so we're in control of what's going out, not sitting there passive, waiting for someone to go on a Google page and pay-per-click or to go and do something. We're reaching out in a different way. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope that you've got something from it. And I will see you next week. I was thinking of doing them more frequently, but I think no, we'll do it next week. have a look on the description about what we're going to talk about because I completely forgot what it is. But the bottom line is we're here every week. I'll answer your questions every week. I'm here, genuinely, I'm here to help. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't. I've invested a great deal of time, money and effort in making sure this works and flows the way it does. And so I want you to fly. And even if you don't use me, tell me that you're flying because you're doing it. That starts to change other things and helps other people because we do want to help other people, don't we? Yeah. That's it. Bye for now and have a great week and weekend and start thinking about applying this next week and read the stuff on the website. There's a lot of content, a lot of good stuff there. And like I said, it does direct you in the right way. To the right pages without having to go through 750,000 words. Anyway, that's it from me. I keep leaving it on that because I'm looking at the camera. I'm not looking at the screen. But that's it from me. Have a great week. Until next time. Bye for now. I was.
of a Caesar.
Only a couple of people, but somebody reacted, whoever it was that was on, and it definitely.